One of the most difficult problems for some people who are not Christians, one of the reasons why they have a hard time accepting Christianity, is suffering and sickness and death and all those problems. And their reasoning process is, if God is a good God, then why would He allow suffering? You push them a little bit and they say, well, you say God is a good God, a loving God. You say God is a powerful God. In fact, you claim He is all powerful. And yet, I look around and I see suffering everywhere. Why do we have to suffer? If there is a loving God who is all powerful, then why is there suffering? It is one of the most difficult questions that you have to deal with people who want to come at Christianity from a thought perspective. Because the suffering doesn't seem to just hit the people who do things wrong. The suffering also seems to hit people who live a pretty godly life. You also see that many times people who live in open sin don't suffer as much as people who try to live a godly life. And some of the suffering comes from natural phenomena, hurricanes and tornadoes and things like this. And you say, I don't understand why they're suffering. I want to share with you what I believe the Bible teaches about that. In the process, one or two times, I'm going to tell you, I don't know. But I do want to tell you the basic answer, and I want you to learn it. In fact, I want to ask your permission to treat you like first graders, and you just, and it's not because you're first graders, it's because I'm first grader. I'm very simplistic, and I like simple answers. There was a time, I don't go to movies very much anymore, not that I'm against them, it's just they're not interesting to me anymore, but there was a time in movie making that they left you hanging. You know, I grew up when in the end the good guy always won. I like that. You know, I just like we go through this whole process and all these problems and all these difficulties, in the end the good guy wins. Then they went through this period of time of making movies in which they just left it open. Nobody won. You didn't know what happened. You could come to your own conclusion. Hated that. Just don't like, tell me something. You know, give me some kind of conclusion. Don't let just leave me hanging. So I want to give you the basic answer. The reason there is suffering in the world is because we live in a sin-cursed world. The reason there is suffering is because we live in a sin-cursed world. The reason there is suffering is because we live in a sin-cursed world. And it's very, very important that when we see suffering or experience suffering, we need to understand that it is not that God did that to us, it's because we did it to ourselves. Sin brings death. Sickness and suffering is just steps on the way to death. Does that make sense? The wages of sin is death. So the reason there is suffering is sin. The reason there is suffering is sin. People say, well, why did God allow this to happen? God did allow it to happen in the sense that God let the natural result from sin take its course. When there is sin, there is a result, and the result is suffering, death. Bend the other way, Genesis 2:15. God told Adam and Eve, if you partake of the fruit, you will die. In the Bible, death is used two ways. It always means separation. Spiritual death is when my spirit separates from God. Physical death is when my spirit separates from my body. And when they sinned, they were immediately separated from God. Spiritual death was experienced immediately. Physical death began, the process began that they would die. The NET Bible translates that, footnotes and saying, when God said, you will surely die, what he said was, you will surely dying, you will die. The process will begin that you die. So suffering, sickness, is the result of sin. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world. Who was that one man? Adam. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin. So death spread to all men because all sin. If you'd read the next few verses, they're all a little bit difficult to understand, but he goes on to say that people died who did not sin in the same way Adam sinned. Because Adam was the head of the race, and when he died, it affected all of his children. So everybody dies. The mortality rate is 100%. Every person that's born dies. There have been so few exceptions to that that it won't even make a blimp. If you could chart it out somehow, it wouldn't even make a blimp. Every person that's born dies. One or two people in the Old Testament didn't die. But people like Lazarus died twice. Right? Jesus resurrected him and still had to go through that again. The fact is, we die because of sin. The reason there's suffering is because we live in a sin-cursed world. And it is very, very important we understand that. When something goes wrong, we don't jump up and say, it's God's fault. God allowed that to happen. Why would God do that to us? It is not God's fault. It is our fault. Death, sickness, and suffering is a result of sin. Want to make sure you got that point. If you don't get anything else, you can sleep the rest of the time just so you got that point. That suffering is the result of sin. Now, let's get it more complicated. Sometimes the suffering and the time of our death is directly related to our own sin. And sometimes it is not. Sometimes the amount of suffering and the time of our death is directly related to our own sins. Sometimes it is not related to our sins. Let's look at one example when it is directly related. 1 Corinthians 11. And you may want to look this up in your Bible because you probably wouldn't believe it if I wrote it out for you. Because we never use this passage. We have the Lord's Supper every Sunday, and we never use this passage. We used a few verses before, but we never use this one. And I mean never in a general sense. I don't mean that nobody has ever in the whole history of the world used this passage. I just mean this passage we shy away from because it is a little bit scary. 1 Corinthians 11, 28. He's talking about partaking of the Lord's Supper. And he says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment or condemnation to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. Verse 30, for this reason, many of you are weak and sick, and a number of you sleep. What does sleep mean there? Death. Why? Why were people suffering? Why were people sick in this particular case? Tell me why. They mistook the Lord's Supper. They took it in a wrong manner. So their sickness and their suffering, and even in some cases their death, was the direct result of mistaking the Lord's Supper. not judging the body rightly. Now that's scary. Whoever's making communion can probably just make about half as much next week. If that's the case, I don't want to partake. But the fact of it is, this is what the Bible says, that there were some people who had died because they had made a party out of the Lord's Supper, basically. They weren't thinking about the Lord or whatever. They were just having a good time. And they hadn't discerned the body. They hadn't rightly judged the body. They hadn't thought about Jesus. They hadn't considered the other Christians. And I really don't want to get off into all the reasons for that. I do want you to see directly that they died and were sick because they sinned. And it was a direct relationship. They sinned, they had this problem directly. My dad, who was not a Christian, smoked 4 packs of cigarettes a day. He died at 56 of lung cancer. Most likely, he caused his own death. Right? I know people who smoked 4 packs of cigarettes today and lived to be 75. So there's not always a direct relationship. Sometimes there is a direct relationship. And you ask me why, and my answer is, I don't know. You know, sometimes a person drinks for years and years and years and has cirrhosis of the liver. Other people drink the same amount for the same number of years and health is a pig. I don't know why. I do know the general principle is still true, that sickness and suffering and death is a result of sin. That is still true. In fact, if my dad had not smoked 4 packs of cigarettes today, would he have died at some point anyway? Why? Because death is a result of sin in the world. So there are times when your sickness is directly related to your sin. Direct relationship. I did this and this happened. There are times when it is not directly related. I was going to read the story, but let me just tell you the story. You remember the story of Cain and Abel? They were the first two children, as far as we know, of Adam and Eve. They brought offerings to God. God accepted one of the offerings, and he did not accept the other one. The Bible does not say why. Most of us think we know why, because Abel's offering was a blood sacrifice and Cain's was not. And most people I know think that's the reason God refused it. But the Bible doesn't really say that. It just says God refused it. As a result of that, as a result of God refusing Cain's offering, Cain got angry and killed Abel. What I want you to think about today is Abel died an early death and he'd done nothing. You know, it's like when mom gets mad and the little kid says, I ain't done nothing, right? If he ain't done nothing, he probably has done something, right? But anyway, the fact of it is, Abel died early because of sin, but not his sin, right? It was still because of sin, it was because of Cain's sin, but it was not because of Abel's sin. Now, that is true in our life. If you go out on the highway and some drunk driver runs into you and injures you, it is not because of your sin that that happens, but it is because of sin. And so we need to understand that sometimes it is directly related, sometimes it is not directly related. The passage I read from John, most Bible scholars believe that the Jews of Jesus' day believe that all sickness was a result of your sin. Remember a number of months ago when I preached on The Secret? Anybody remember that? The book, The Secret? Well, that fella, one of the ones that they quoted in there, one of the ones they quoted in there, got on TV and they asked him about, the principle is in there that whatever you think's happened to you. And they were asking about, how about these little girls that were raped and killed? by somebody that was on the news at that time. They were 9 or 10 years old. Why did that happen? He said because their little girls were thinking the wrong thoughts. That is simply not true. That is simply not true. And the Jews of Jesus' day had this idea that everything that goes wrong in your life is because what sin you committed. You commit a sin, this happened to you. And so we know that if that happened to you, you sin. What did Job's advisors think? His suffering was the direct result of his sin. And so Jesus was walking along with his disciples. They ran across a man that was born blind. That's a real problem. If you think my suffering is caused by my sin and I was born blind, what do we do now? So they asked him about that. His disciples said, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? Jesus said it was neither that this man sinned nor that his parents. He was not. He's not blind because of direct result of sin. Oh, and his parents' sin or his sin. Now, he was blind because of sin, I believe, but not directly related to his sin or his parents' sin. Jesus went on to say, but in order that the works of God might be displayed in him. So sometimes our sin is a result of my suffering is a result of my sin. Sometimes my suffering and my sickness is a cause of my sin. Sometimes my suffering and my sickness has nothing to do with my sin. It is true because there's sin in the world. I live in a sin-cursed world. But it is not directly result. I feel like I need to stop and have a little class discussion. Say, does everybody understand that? And if you don't understand it, you don't know what to say, right? But why is there sin? Why is there suffering? Because of sin. Is there always a direct relation between the amount of sin and the amount of suffering? No. Sometimes there is, sometimes there isn't. But it's not always. So if I've got a problem in my life, I need to check. I need to run by that base and say, is it something I did? You know, is it something I did wrong to cause this? But I don't need to camp out there. In other words, I don't need to say, well, it must be something I did wrong. It's got to be something I did wrong if I'm suffering like this. It doesn't have to be. Why is that the case? Wouldn't it be simpler if the more you sin, the more you suffered? But it's not that way. I mean, and you don't have to be a scholar to figure that out. You can just look around. There are people who are godly people who suffer their whole life. In fact, some of the most godly people I have ever known suffered their whole life. And there are some people who live in sin all their life and seem like nothing ever goes wrong in their life. Know some of them? Man, in the world did they get by with that? You know, they do all kind of sinful things and nothing ever goes wrong in their life. And I don't know that. I don't understand that. I know there's suffering because of sin, but I don't know why there's more suffering in some cases than in other cases. And I know that there's no direct relationship every time. Sometimes God just causes it. Exodus 4:11, God just says he caused it. Doesn't tell us why, just says he did. The Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth, or who has made him dumb, or deaf, or seeing, or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Moses, I think, was to make an excuse why he couldn't do it. He had a speech impediment, the reason he couldn't go speak for God. And God said, I made you the way you are. So in the process of saying that, he said, sometimes I make people blind and mute and all that stuff. He doesn't tell us why. Don't know why. Don't have a clue. Just know that I believe that sickness and suffering is the result of sin. Not always directly related, but always a result of sin. Now, somehow I always seem to want to get in trouble. So the next thing I want to talk about is the redemption of our bodies was included in the atonement. The redemption of our bodies was included in the atonement. When Jesus died on the cross, He not only saved us spiritually, He also is going to save us physically. Although the body will be changed, this physical body will have a new body. And that redemption was included in the atonement. When Jesus died on the cross, that price was paid. You don't need to pay nothing else. That's already paid. But that redemption has not occurred yet. Look at Romans chapter 8, verses 23, 24. Some of you looking at me like, Lee, what did you say? Romans chapter 8, verse 23. And not only this, but we also, having the first fruits of the Spirit, anybody know what that means? Having the first fruits of the Spirit? But having the Holy Spirit as a down payment in our life. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoptions as son, the redemption of our bodies. The redemption of our bodies was included. When Jesus died on the cross, that paid the price that we're going to be resurrected from the dead and we're going to be made whole. We're going to be at a place where we don't got sickness anymore, no more suffering anymore, no more death anymore. All that took place when He died on the cross, but that has not been applied to us yet. And so Paul here in Romans 8 is picturing us as groaning and waiting for that to happen. That has not happened yet. It's going to happen sometime in the future, but it has not happened yet. And you say, well, Lee, why did you say you're going to get in trouble? Because if you turn your TV on this afternoon or this morning, whenever you did, and you listen to those TV preachers, they teach the same thing I teach, that the redemption of your body was included in the atonement. They teach that it has already taken place. So if you're a Christian, you would never be sick. That is simply not true. It is not true because the redemption of our bodies has not been applied yet. Romans 8, 23, 24 says that. I didn't read verse 24, I don't think. For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope, for why does one also hope for what he sees? Now I want you to look at Revelation 21, which pictures a future event. A future event. Something that's going to happen. Whatever you think of Revelation, Revelations 21 and 22 has to do with the future. Okay, what interpretation, whether you're premillennialist or postmillennialist or amillennialist, whether you're preterist or whatever. All those fancy words, doesn't make a difference. Almost everybody believes that chapters 21 and 22 had to do with the future. It's not happened yet. It's got to do with the future. So I want you to listen. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth passed away. There's no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he shall dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them. Stop right there. God's going to be among them, New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. This is something that's going to happen when? In the future. Has not happened yet. Listen to the next verse. And he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there shall no longer be any death. There shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. At what point in time will there no longer be any death? When this happens, sometime in the future from now. It has not happened yet. But look at this. He will wipe away every tear. Up until that point, they're going to be crying. They're going to be death, right? There's going to be mourning. There's going to be pain. Until when? Until the new heaven and the new earth comes and God wipes all those things away. Now, sin and suffering, death and suffering, sickness and suffering, all going to be here, and it's here because of sin. One day it's going to be gone. One of the questions I asked on the first, why doesn't God do something? He has. He has. He did it. It's not been applied yet, but he did it. Not been applied completely. You see, I believe that the Bible teaches in a physical resurrection. I believe when Jesus comes back, Christians who are in their graves, I believe the graves are going to be empty. There's going to be a bodily resurrection. The body is going to be redeemed and made over where it does not suffer anymore and there's no more sickness anymore. It's not just a spiritual resurrection, it is a physical resurrection because the physical redemption was included in the atonement. But it has not happened yet. So we still suffer. There's still sickness. We still die physically. And will continue to do so until Jesus returns. Now, the last point, number five, is some sickness and healing result in people coming to Christ. When Jesus resurrected Lazarus, one of the things he says to his disciples, I'm glad I was not there because it'll help your faith to see this happen. Let me read that passage, John chapter 11. I'll try to read your face, and if some of you got the stomachache, I think you're just really upset by what I'm saying. Okay. I mean, when I say something, you frown up. So, uh-oh, they missed that one. So look at John chapter 11, verses 14 and 15. Jesus was using the word sleep, and the disciples understood if he's sleeping, he'll get better. Now, Jesus said in verse 14, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there so that you may believe. Let's go to him. In other words, I'm going to strengthen your faith by what I'm going to do. Had I been there, I would have healed him immediately and it wouldn't have made much difference in your life. Look at verse 45. Many, therefore, the Jews who had come to Mary and beheld what he had done, raised Lazarus from the dead, what does it say was the result? They believed in him. So sometimes sickness and healing from that sickness and all that kind of stuff result in people coming to faith in Jesus. Sometimes God is glorified by what happens. The Apostle Paul wanted to be healed. Anybody remember that story? How many times did he pray? Three times. And basically, God said, nope, not going to do it. Never explained why he didn't do it. He just said, I'm not going to do it. And so Paul says, I'll just glorify God in my sickness. And so for you and I, when we get sick, when we suffer, What caused that generally? What caused that? Sin. All sickness, all suffering, all death, the result of sin. It may be that my sickness and my suffering is a direct result of some sin I committed. So I need to go by that base and I need to check that out. Is it something I did? If it is something I did, what do you think I need to do? Ask God to forgive me. And I need to change. I don't need to do that no more. Don't need to make that same mistake again. So I need to change, but I need to ask God to forgive me. And then I need to ask God to heal me. If I were to commit the sin of murder, the person I murdered would still be dead even if God forgave me, wouldn't he? Could God forgive me of murder? Yes, the guilt would be gone. Many times the result of my sin remains. If I check it out and I can't figure out, well, you know, it doesn't seem like anything I did particularly, the reason I'm suffering, then what I need to do? I need to just try to work it out where God gets glory in spite of my suffering. I need to work it out where I can use my sickness to lead somebody else to Christ. And I want to tell you, some of the greatest witness I've ever seen were Christian people who were suffering and in sickness. And was able to glorify God even in the midst of that. I mean, just it just blow you out, as I say, the horse come home without you because it blew you out the saddle, you know. And because those people in the midst of their suffering are able to glorify God. And so as I suffer, if it's not my fault, then I need to try to find a way to glorify God in the midst of it. Why is that suffering? Tell me. Sin. Why do a particular person suffer a particular thing? Most of the time we don't know. Sometimes it's his fault, but most of the time we don't know. People who commit all kinds of sin, sometimes there's no direct result. Sometimes there is. But we do know sickness, suffering, and death is a result of us living in a sin-cursed world. It's going to happen. That's how we live. That's where we live. Sin is a very serious matter. None of us wants to suffer. None of us. As I get older, the joints don't work right. and trouble with my back. You know, I don't like none of that. None of it. Already, I can see some of you think, most of you didn't know I could read your mind, but I can see some of you think, if that guy would lose some of the weight, them joints wouldn't hurt as much. Them joints wouldn't hurt as much. And that may be true. And I may be causing part of that. TV says, for every pound I lose, I take 4 pounds off of my knees. I don't know how you figure that. but that's what they said on the TV last week. I saw that. And it's got to be true if it's on TV, right? Got to be true if it's on TV. If you're a good preacher, I'm not, but I'd like to copy them sometime. If you're a good preacher, you need to make sure that your sermon made one point. I want to make sure my sermon made one point. The reason we suffer is sin. The reason there's suffering in the world is sin. And you need to know, it's not that God intentionally picked you out and said, I'm going to cause him to suffer. We caused our own problem. Even in the midst of our problems, it is so sweet to just trust Jesus, isn't it?